Nicola and the Child Correction Centre by Claes Johansson. Narrated by Catherine Moran for Saga. Chapter 1. The Mysterious Buildings. One evening, Nicola went for a walk with her mum's new boyfriend. His name was Mick Randolph. This was the first time she heard about the Child Correction Centre. They went from the house where Nicola and her mum lived, up to the main road, and round behind the old hotel. They crossed the footbridge over the motorway. Then they continued up the slope towards the riding school and the shooting range. It was a sultry summer evening with thunder in the air. Nicola was eating an ice cream. Mick was drinking cola from a can. As they walked, he kept saying things he thought were funny.
"You want some of my cola, Nicola?"
"No thanks, Mr. Randolph," she said. She always called him that, though he had asked her to call him Mick. Her mother insisted on it too. Still, Nicola kept calling him by his surname. She felt it created a nice distance between them.
"So it's no cola for Nicola," Mick said with a grin.
She shook her head and avoided looking at him. He cleared his throat.
"I'm playing word games with your name here,"
he said, as if she was daft and hadn't understood that already.
"No cola for Nicola, get it?"
"Whatever," she said. Nicola thought Mick was a very unfunny person. In fact, she had often asked herself why her mother had chosen such an idiot for a boyfriend. Nicola's mother and her father were divorced, but Nicola hoped more than anything that they would soon get back together. If her father came home, she could be with him every day, not just every other weekend. And Mick would be out of her life. Her real dad would hit him on the head with a frying pan and kick him out of the house. The thought was enough to make Nicola giggle. Mick was a teaser, though he would never have admitted it. Instead, he would describe himself as a comedian. That was also the name of his shop, The Comedian. It was a joke shop. Nicola's mother often made excuses for him.
"Mick is just trying to cheer you up," she said. "He might be a tad insecure. It's difficult to take on another man's child, you have to understand that."
But Nicola didn't want Mick to take her on. She didn't want to understand him either, and she had long ago stopped falling for his silly games. The run-over foot, the vampire fangs, and the whoopee cushion, the laughter box, the fake scars, the axe in the head, and the scythe through the stomach. In Nicola's opinion, Mike Randolph was a waste of space.
"When is my mum coming back from that evening lecture?" she asked.
It seemed to Nicola that her mother was always going to evening classes.
"She should be back at 9, Mick said, smirking.
He had cola foam on his lips and wiped it off on his sleeve. Mick was roughly the same age as Nicola's mother, in his early 30s. So why did he behave like an annoying 5-year-old little brother? Apart from that, he was downright ugly. He had a light bulb head and little beady eyes. His mouth was tiny, and his lips were often so moist with spit that they were dripping. He had a wispy moustache that looked as if he had drawn it on with a pencil. He had sloping shoulders and a sunken chest. A pair of huge and clumsy feet sat at the end of his short, fat legs. Nicola didn't get what her mother saw in Mick. As far as she could judge, the woman needed both a new pair of glasses and a turbocharged hearing aid. Mick downed the last of his drink and rubbed his belly. Then he looked down at Nicola and burped. A warm smell of cheese, sweet mustard, and salami crept into Nicola's nose and made her nauseous. She turned her head away.
"Oops,"
Mick said.
"Pardon me, young lady."
The apology wasn't seriously meant, and Nicola knew it. Mick was only teasing, as always.